Hello, welcome to An Ink We Trust, Tattoo and Art Culture in San Fernando Valley, bringing you the latest who's making a mark on the Valley tattoo scene, bringing the tattoo parlor to you. I am your host, Anthony Sanchez. Today we're going to talk to our guest, Kennedy Madison from XY Studio in North Hollywood. Thank you for coming by.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, keeping it casual, how's your summer been?
My summer has been great. Yeah, I've been just traveling and surfing and tattooing, so it's been a good summer,
surfing.
I have to say. Yeah.
So where is a good place to surf right now?
Well, I mean, I'm no, like, professional or, like, rip curl girl or anything, but my friends and I will go to Malibu, very close to Zuma Beach, and okay. I think that's, like, the least populated, so you're able to just go back in and have no issues with, like, bumping in or running into people.
Yeah.
But it's been really fun. Yeah.
I took one surfing class and I got a lot of respect for the long getting.
Oh, it's hard.
The hardest part isn't getting on the board. The hardest part is getting out into the ocean again.
It's a lot. You feel it in your pecs and your arms. You're like, I'm so out of shape as you like go through the water. And even pushing up, I think that's my issue. I have strong legs, but I have like linguini, like angel hair spaghetti arms. They have no muscle.
Yeah. I don't know if maybe because he's getting paid, but he was like, you get on the board, fine. He was just, but it was getting out there and then waiting for a wave. So
it's a lot.
I was like, I feel like I'd have to work out specifically. I have to work out special just to do it. You know
you
what
do.
I mean?
You do. It's okay. You know, you get that muscle, then you get that hot summer bod for the next season, and then you're good.
How long have you been surfing?
Not really. I used to surf with my stepdad when I was around 10 or 11. Like I said, it wasn't great, but I got up a lot more frequently than I do now. And so I just picked it back up with my friends this summer. So we were pretty much going like every other week. And
okay.
I was able to like, you know, get up and stand up on the board multiple times. When it comes to propelling down a wave. Oh, no, I can't do that.
Oh, so you've been on a pretty big wave then, sounds like.
I've definitely thought I was good enough to do it.
Okay.
To find out that I just wipe out every time.
Yeah. So you just do casual surfing in LA?
Casual surfing. Okay. I'm no like rip curl girl. I can't like do any like major sporting events. I just go there to have fun with my friends and get like a workout.
I mean, one thing that I liked when I was in Maui was like how surfing was on the news. Like,
oh, you surfed like, in Maui.
I didn't surf in Maui. No, it was, and you could tell those were the good waves, and you could tell that a lot of kind of retired surfers lived over there too, because it was just kind of, I think on the north side, there was a lot of good surfing.
Yes, I think like North Shore or something like that. It's very competitive, and a lot of the locals there are very territorial and protective of
their beaches. They are here too,
though. They are, but I think in Hawaii, because it's just such a huge part of their culture, that they want to preserve it as much as possible, and they just don't like tourists claiming what's already so overpopulated now that they're just like, broke it out.
Yeah, I know that it's an issue with like being able to still live off your land over there, and it's kind of hard because it's so Americanized, Westernized? I don't know.
I guess you
should know.
Yeah.
We're just going into tangents.
It's okay.
So tell me a little bit about your creative work. What inspires you? Because you're not just tattoo artist. You also do drawings and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I've been involved with art ever since, well, my parents put me into an art program since I was 5 to 10 years old. So in that art school, they pretty much prep me and taught me all the different mediums such as pastels, watercolor, charcoal, oil painting, and that created my foundation for, you know, 5 years up until I was like 10 years old. And, you know, over the course of my life, it never stopped. I've always taken art courses in high school and in college, and I love being very versatile in my creative world, and I'm also a huge fan of anime. So I think that world, because what I was taught was realism and how to draw figures and animals and landscapes properly and very precisely. And then in my adolescence, I got very heavily into anime. And those two different art styles crossed paths and I think really meshed with my style now, which I think in the tattooing world is very more closer to like neo-traditional, where there's lots of aspects of realism involved, but there's some really like thick line work that kind of makes it pop, like almost like a cartoon. And so mm-hmm. I think that's where it all comes from.
Yeah. And I like hearing all these different descriptions about, but it's interesting though, because we've had other people come in there, they identify as neo-traditional, but I think it's such a new and broad thing.
It is.
At first I'm like, oh, I thought this was it. But now I'm like, okay, maybe this is it. Mm-hmm. So
I think there definitely is a proper definition for it, but I think that's just for my own
Absolutely.
Personal taste. Like that's how I identify with my neo-traditional work.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite medium that you like to work in then?
With tattooing or just like in
with,
art?
With regular art, and we can talk about how it
yeah.
transitions into
I love... So I either draw using like graphite pencil, that's my main thing that I do, or I paint with acrylic paints. If I had the money to do oil painting, I loved oil painting so much growing up, because what's great about oil paints is that it has like such vibrant colors, but the paint doesn't dry very quickly. It stays very wet for a few days. So you could put a painting down for a couple days and go back in and you could still blend colors.
Nice.
Whereas with acrylic, it's cheaper, but it dries so quick. And if you don't blend, then you're like, man, I gotta restart this all over again. So it's you get different pros and cons out of it, but usually graphite pencil drawings or acrylic painting is what I do.
Okay. You mentioned anime earlier.
Yes.
Do you feel like there was a particular anime that really just made you feel like, I'm just going to go full on? Do you consider yourself otaku or weeb? Or?
Yes.
And my husband, no judgment. My husband's like, he spends most of his hours at home. I'm like, I don't even, actually yesterday he was like, I added some more. He's like, I don't know what these are. And I'm like.
Anime is just, yeah, I'm obsessed. When I was in middle school, I became very much obsessed with the animes, like Naruto Shippuden, duh. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even when I was younger, when I was little, I used to watch like Yu Yu Hakusho and Inuyasha.
Inuyasha, yeah.
And other ones. There was Cowboy Bebop.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, I want to rewatch it. But there was so much of that I was just so fascinated by, and just such amazing stylized characters, which I never really fathomed so much in like the realism artistic world. So
yeah.
That's why I love it.
So how did your art kind of blend into you being a tattoo artist?
So a lot of like so many people in my life, family, friends, relationships have always asked me why I haven't done anything career-wise in the artistic world. And I couldn't really give them an answer, because growing up, I always knew that art wasn't a solid career path. I always joked when I was little to my mom, she's like, oh, are you going to be an artist one day? I was like, no, because artists don't make money until they're dead. And I guess that mindset has always stuck with me. And I wanted to be a veterinarian, so I was a vet technician for 6 months. That didn't work out. I'm very, very much fascinated and interested in like the psychological realm. That's where I got my college degree in.
Okay.
And I was dabbling with that idea, but then all these different career choices that I had in my mind only had a certain amount of shelf life in
right.
my heart and in my mind. And then 2 years ago, one of my ex-boyfriends, he talked to me because he was an artist as well. And he talked to me. He's like, why aren't you an artist? Like, you're good. I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just not going to happen. And he's like, have you ever considered tattooing? And I don't know why it clicked that year. But then I really thought to myself, why am I not trying that? Because tattooing is just a different medium in an art world.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it's harder in certain forms, but it totally is just another medium. And so that's when I decided to go gung-ho and just go for it ever since then.
So how long have you been tattooing then?
As a licensed tattoo artist, I got my license in February.
Okay, congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
but to be an apprentice, how long did you have to do that?
I was an apprentice for almost a full year.
Okay.
I would say almost a year. I didn't really know where to begin. I got my tattooing equipment online and I was just practicing on lemons and oranges, just trying to figure it out. But then I knew I had to get in a shop somehow, some way. You could only do so much in your apartment for so long as a beginner. And my brother-in-law told me that he has a cousin who worked in the Valley as a tattoo artist and I should go by and check it out. And so I did. And it was very intimidating because I still am, but at the time I was very much a newbie, a novice, and walking into this tattoo studio with all these men just looking at me like this small little Asian girl. I'm like, hi, is one of you Mark? Like, because I've never met him. And so we got talking and I actually didn't end up in that studio at Custom Culture for I think another couple of months because they said they weren't accepting any new apprentices or just people in general. So Mark ended up giving me a list of places to check out and apply to, and I did. Mm-hmm. And I got into one studio that didn't work out for a number of reasons. I didn't really, like the people and like the artwork didn't really resonate with me, mm-hmm. but I felt like I needed to do it as an obligation, but then down the line it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up just kind of going back to Custom Culture and I told them, I was like, hey, you know, I know you're not accepting people, but do you think I could just hang out and draw, or do you think I could just bring my equipment and just, you know, be in a little corner and do it myself? And, you know, over a course of time, then they finally said, like, you know, like, we'll take you in. And that's where it all began.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that gusto.
It was hard. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about being the, you know, the woman in the boys club, because there are some, obviously there's the famous Kat Von D, but
yes.
I don't think they all have that story of just, you know, I'm the cool chick in the tattoo shop.
Yeah.
It's not just like, you know, okay, just kick it and see ya.
Yeah, no, I'm lucky because I think being like, I was raised by both parents, but like I hung out a lot with my father, and
okay.
He was an electrician in the union. So there would be times where he would introduce me to his electrical world, which is filled with so many men. Mm-hmm. And I grew up knowing how to interact with men, and I have a ton of guy friends. So, I mean, I think that's what helped me, even though there was parts of me in my gut that were a little bit scared of walking into this shop filled with like all these different men who I have no idea and they don't know me, and usually a tattoo studio is super like rugged and we're hard and we're tough, and I'm just like, hi.
I mean, I feel it too as a gay man being,
yeah.
You know, when I'm getting tattooed, because it's like, I remember the first time I was working on this sleeve, they were kind of like, they make a lot of gay jokes and they kind of were like, oh wait. And I was like, yeah, usually when I joke about that, I'm really going to do it.
Yeah. It's tough. And I've faced a lot of different adversities in that shop as well, because they all thought I was just like some sensitive, delicate little flower, or they even thought I was very innocent. Like, I don't know, like stereotypical, like studious Asian girl who like doesn't see the sunlight ever because she's just so in her books with studies. And I don't know, they were just always, some of them were just very surprised about how, I guess, non-innocent I am. Like that I'm down to be in the world, like that I am tough, and I'm tough, but I'm sensitive, like
yeah.
Sensitive, but tough.
Yeah.
And I think one of the major adversities I faced in that shop was that there was a member there who made it extremely difficult for me to tattoo.
Hmm.
He didn't want me there at all. And there was a few people who did and said, like, give her a chance. But he always came in and greeted me with this very negative energy, like kind of treated me like trash. And there was even a time when I was, you know, starting to, you know, climb my little ladder as an apprentice and start actually tattooing people. And I'm like very like cordial and courteous to him and told him, hey, you know, I'm planning to tattoo this client, you know, in 2 weeks on this day at this time. I want to make sure that's okay with you. Just going all the right ways to make sure everything was okay. And then when the day finally came, I'm about to tattoo my client. He calls the shop phone and I answer and he tells me, you're not tattooing today. And I was so like confused because I was being very polite about it. I was like, I don't understand why, because I talked to you about this. He's like, well, I changed my mind. No, kick him out. You're done. He's like, you're not allowed to tattoo. And then he would, over, you know, the months that I was there, create more and more rules that he had created in his own head that he had never discussed with me. And I'm a huge communicator. So I told him, look, like, I want to play by your rules. I want to know my parameters, but I don't like how I think I know what my parameters are, but then you build more fences and build more walls over and over the days that go by. And he's like, well, that's not my problem. And so that was, I think, one of the most challenging parts as a female apprentice, was that no one really took me seriously. He thought I wasn't good enough and actually truly prevented me from tattooing.
Yeah, it sounds like you had to do that. I don't know the sociological term, but you have to like do double or triple the work. Kind of just be at the even playing field that everyone else is at.
It was tough. And, you know, he was very much, I think, like, I was like, how old am I? He's definitely like 20 or 30 years older than me. And the other shop owner, I think, is like 10 years older than me. And it took me to have to rally these two shop owners up and say, look, we need to talk. Like, I'm getting one story from one guy. I'm getting one story from you. Like, we're not all on the same page. And like, we need to talk. And it really surprised me that it took me this 24-year-old girl at the time just being like, look, you two male adults, listen, like, we're going to have a discussion. We're going to have a dialogue. We're not going to have some sort of tantrum going on. And that's what would happen with one of the members a lot. He just hated me. He didn't want me there.
What things do you think you introduced to a tattoo shop as a woman then? Because it sounds like communication was something that maybe they're not familiar with.
I think that was the biggest one, was communication. Because I think that was one of the biggest issues I had. I've even talked to other members or even like new members, like, it's like, man, like, are you sure everything's okay? And they'd be like, yeah, I think so. And then turns out things aren't. And so communication was a big one. Or I'm also just in general a very huge, I'm very big on speaking up for myself and other people. And that same member would on certain days just come into the doors and just kind of make a ruckus about things. If he's having a bad day, he's going to make sure you all feel it. And sometimes he even would blame other people for, I don't know, small misfortunes. Like, there was a time where I guess somebody didn't lock the front door during closing of some kind. And he was very adamant about blaming one person in specific when there was definitely, I think, like three people who could have been to blame. And everyone was just kind of just taking the brunt of his very angry and aggressive words. And I asked him, I was like, well, there's cameras, right? And he's like, yeah. I was like, why don't you check the cameras and see who you should actually be blaming right now? And he'd create excuses of why he can't check the cameras and blah, blah, blah. And I would say, well, I mean, it's not really fair that you're going to blame somebody, but you have no proof. And I'm letting you know right now that you can get the proof right now. You could tell us all that you're right or wrong. But he wouldn't budge. And so, but one of the issues about that was, even though I spoke up for people, not a lot of people really spoke up for me until, I think, the very end when I was leaving.
Right.
And I think that's what was hard. I was like, man, I'm just trying to be a human here. I'm just trying to be a human looking out for another human being. I just want everyone to get along, and, you know, we're not all perfect, and no like facility or no shop or studio is ever going to be perfect. There's always room for improvement. And I wanted to talk about those improvements. I wanted to talk about the things that can make things more smooth sailing. And I don't think a lot of people were receptive to it, or they'd say that, yeah, like, we're down. We're very receptive to what you're saying. And then 2 weeks later, it was in the trash.
I can tell in my few times, obviously, just getting my tattoo, and you sit there for hours, that there's certain unsaid rules that probably people just end up going along with because, you know, but it sounds like you definitely have a much stronger sense of, like, let's get this right. Let's get this comfortable for everybody.
Yeah, it was really tough. And I mean, not only just in the shop, but I was going through a lot of challenges in my own personal life as well. And so with that negative energy that I walked into trying to, you know, excel in my like tattooing and like artistic career, it was very draining and trying. And I was like spreading myself so thin during my apprentice times, and it was hard.
So do you have any advice for other women that are getting into the industry?
I would say for women is be very strong and know your boundaries as well. There's definitely been times where I thought that I, like, social stigma, like, we need to be proper and we need to be receptive and submissive and nice, and this is an obligation and I just need to shut up, you know? But then over a course of time, I realized, you know, like, no, people are stepping over my boundaries. I don't need to be so cordial and polite and submissive to somebody who's being completely rude to me and not respecting me. So if any new female artist is coming into a new shop, just know your boundaries and know that your words and what you have to say matter. And if you're not comfortable and it is like killing you, like in a soulful and artistic way, you can leave. Like, you have a choice. And I didn't realize that I had that choice to walk away for a while. Some people say, like, you should stick it out. And I did it, but then it ended up being very, very negatively impacted my life. And so that's when I walked away, and that's when I finally excelled. I got my license by myself, and I started tattooing by myself in my apartment. And that's where I grew as an artist. And I was afraid because I thought, like, nobody's going to take me seriously in the walls of my apartment. But I knew I was good enough. And I just kept telling myself, it's like, no, like, you made it this far. If you could put up with everything that you went through at that shop, you can do this. And you know what? Somebody's going to recognize you. And somebody did.
Awesome. And that's why you're going to end up at how do you say the name? XY Studio. I'm just
going to
say.
XY Tattoo Studio in North Hollywood. Yes.
Zizix? Is that what it's?
I'm sorry?
Does he say Zizix?
Zai, or it may be Zai Tattoo Studio, because his name is Zyborg.
Okay.
So it might be Zai Tattoo Studio or XY Tattoo Studio.
You might have
Tattoo
to convince
Studio.
Him to come here and tell us the story about that. Huh?
I'm sure he'd love to. Yeah, because he just opened his shop.
Okay.
And so he wanted to recruit some new artists.
Nice.
And so that's how he found me, was I tattooed a friend, an octopus, and it was one of the best pieces that I've created in my very short amount of time as a tattoo artist. And my friend who goes to Zyborg as, like a loyal client, he looks at his arm and says, "Who did that for you?" And told it was me. And he's like, "How long has she been in this game?" And he's like, "Honestly, like, not that long, like barely even a year." And that's when he contacted me. And I was like, "I did it, Mom."
It's a great, great story from everything else we talked about already. So have you happened to meet other women in the industry? I'm curious if there's a camaraderie.
You know, I haven't actually, no, I actually haven't met any female artist yet, unfortunately.
I mean, you've just barely started, too.
Barely started. I mean, at the shop I was at previously, there wasn't any female artists. I think there is one now, so I'm really happy about that mm-hmm. women are starting to become a little bit more prevalent in this artistic world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming into this new studio, which I'm going to be the first girl, so I feel very, you know, honored to do that. I would love to work with other women down the road, because mm-hmm. I feel like they have so much insight and strength that we can give each other mm-hmm. down the road. And like, I follow so many different female artists, and it is very empowering. Where there's times where I feel down and I doubt my own work, and then I look at these other women who also are very transparent about their journey and how hard it was for them, but they're just like, dude, just keep going. Right. Like, you got this. And I'm like, yeah, I love you.
It's not one of those industries where you can just go to the Department of Labor and see how many women are in the field. You kind of just got to go like, okay, there's all these women. There's like thousands of this, but like hundreds of this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I would love to work with some woman down the roads. It would be an honor to work with another female artist.
Have you in your tattooing been tattooed by a woman versus a man? Like, have you?
No.
Okay.
I've only been tattooed by men.
All right.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are other women I would love to be tattooed, but they're like in different cities or states, and they're also very expensive, rightfully so, because their work is phenomenal.
Right.
But I'm like, I'm a starving young artist, so I'm a wait. But I would love to get tattooed by some of these women for sure.
Do you think you have a different touch or a different feeling? Because they always say, I even heard one time one girl, she was just like, I hope you don't have a heavy hand. Like,
so
you know,
men
kind of just naturally could, I don't know, maybe I'm being sexist, but they could be a little rougher.
I think it could happen with both people. I have been told I have a very light hand, thank God.
That's nice.
I know, it is. I'm like, oh, thank you. I'm gentle. I've definitely, like I said, I've only been tattooed by men, so I don't know anything else. But I've been tattooed by heavy-handed men before, but people say, at least from when I've tattooed them, that I'm light-handed and I have a nice energy. Like, I want people to feel comfortable, and I want it to be a good experience for everyone, including myself.
Right.
So if we could have a good time, like, you know, verbally and vibe-wise, we're going to have a great time in, like, as a session. So
right.
I think that's what I bring.
Do you have any tattoo things that you're working on right now that are coming up? Or you're just back at your shop there, so I guess.
Yeah, I'm just starting, but actually after this, I have a finger tattoo of this. He's another artist. He's a family friend, and he wants to get a spray can on his finger. I'm pretty sure his index, because he does graffiti art.
Nice.
As of now, no big ones yet. I'm honestly pushing for somebody to take one of my drawings, because I love drawing beautiful women.
Okay.
I love beautiful women to draw. It's just like, they're such a great muse, and I would even just give a very discounted rate to tattoo one of these portraits that I've done on somebody. So bad.
You're looking in the studio. Any takers?
That would be another project I would love to do, is to tattoo female faces, because I've yet to do that.
Okay.
So that's another road I'd like to propel towards.
Does anyone in your family have tattoos?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. My sister has a ton of tattoos, and they're all so beautiful. I think she has the most, I would say. The rest of my family, like on my mom and dad's side, don't really have much. And I know, you know, tattooing is so much more prevalent now and so much more of a fad now. I mean, it was back then, but not so much as it is now. And so even my mom would kind of not ostracize, but criticize my sister for her immense amount of tattoos, and kind of makes her like feel like she made a mistake.
Right.
And it's not some sort of like expression of herself. Whereas now I think my mom's starting to see that, because now I'm getting tattoos, because she would always tell me, she's like, just promise me one thing, just don't get tattoos. And then I got one, and she's like, okay, just no more. And then I started getting more, and I'm like, well, now I give them. So she's probably like, oh my God, I taught this girl nothing.
Yeah, I was lucky that my brother got his tattoos before I did, so I didn't have to deal with the brunt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but now it's, I think now more so my family on both sides are more appreciative of the art behind tattooing, and I think it's fantastic, and even more people are getting tattoos, and I think it's just great self-expression. Honestly, I think it's a great way to express your own personality or the life choices and the journeys and hurdles that you've overcome and or whatever, or even if you want to get a piece of pizza on your arm because you love pizza, who cares? That's what you want to do, and I think that's fantastic.
I think I'd get a belly piece of a pizza if I was gonna. I wouldn't. But
that would be a prime place to put it, because right? that's where it goes.
Right. Start at the belt line, half of a pizza, and you can put all the slices. That's a free idea, everybody. Here's a question that we like to bring up every now and then.
Sure.
Do you think you could trust a tattoo artist who doesn't have any tattoos?
Oh my God, I hate that. No, it's so I say yes.
You can trust somebody with no tattoos to give you a tattoo.
I say yes. I mean, to a degree, because I think in describing pain, you'll never know how this is going to feel for a person, but I remember I walked in wanting to apprentice for a shop, and one of the shop owners was like, because I only had my tattoos were covered up in certain places, so he didn't see any of mine. And he's like, well, you don't have any visible tattoos, so nobody's going to trust you. And I was like, well, I mean, I don't understand why. Like, I'm an artist. Like, I'm trained to do this. He's like, would you trust a skinny chef? And I looked at him. I was like, yes. I was like, you don't have to be like a fat chef to be a great one. Like, you don't have to have the physical appearance to be something.
Yeah.
So
I've last semester I met some food journalists, and they were like drugs and alcohol is big in the cooking industry. Like,
really?
Yeah. They were like, you could do a story about that, and you would just like. I was like, well,
I had no idea about that.
When you think about it, because they have to work late hours, and they're
wow.
standing up all the time, or they're just doing a lot of stuff. So it's not like a 9-to-5
yeah.
normal thing. So I mean, they could be skinny, and you know,
for
know.
Other reasons.
Yeah, you never know. So
that's crazy. I mean, yeah, I just don't agree with that statement. Like, would you trust somebody if they don't have tattoos? I'm like, yes, because you don't have to fit the image to be great at something. You really don't.
Okay.
And I hate that.
I wonder if that's like a new thing too, because I think that an old school person would be like, unless you're head to toe.
I think a lot of old school people are, I mean, just like with everything else, a lot of people are very stuck with certain ideas from the past. Like, even in my shop, they're like, well, you know, like, one of the people said, like, I had to sleep in my car and I had to, like, lose my family and blah, blah, blah in order to be this tattoo artist. And I looked at him and I was like, great, good for you. I don't need to do that. I don't need to struggle. I don't need to do, like, I don't need to be hazed. I don't think anyone needs to do any old school way that no longer works, that no longer benefits anybody. And, yeah, just, like, that's how I feel. It's like, I don't need to be covered head to toe in tattoos for you to be like, that's a good tattoo artist. I could be drawing stick figures and you wouldn't think it because you're like, oh, she has tattoos all over. Image doesn't mean anything to me.
Have you thought about your next tattoo?
Yes.
Okay.
I have. I have two that I want to do. This first one I want to get on my arm. It's very anime related. I want to get a 9-tailed fox.
Oh.
From Naruto, but a very regal one.
Okay.
And the reason why I want to get that is because the whole premise behind the 9-tailed fox, it's a demon that lives inside of a Jinchuriki, which is the human embodiment of the holder of this demon.
Right.
And I think I want to get it because there's been times where people have told me I'm very intense or overly passionate, and it's been seen as a bad thing. And I like to think of that as like a source of like power, as a source of strength, which, you know, in the anime, that's where they come to realize. It's like, right. I'm not bad. I'm not some demon. Like, I'm powerful, and I could be good in a powerful way. And so that's one of the things. And the other one is tarot card related. I want to get like a side back piece of, I believe it's the 9 of swords, the 9 of swords. And the picture of it is basically a woman who's blindfolded and hands tied behind her back, and she's surrounded by 9 swords. And it's all about a mental fog. Your mind can be a prison. And in the picture, it shows that even though she's blindfolded and hands are tied behind her back, her feet are not bound. She can move. She could leave this very like non-tight prison behind these swords, but she thinks that she can't because her mind is telling her she can't. And so I want to get a back piece that has this same woman who kind of looks like me, and the blindfold is falling off and she's holding one of these swords, because I think that's one of the things I've struggled with and sometimes still think I struggle with, is that I prevent myself from moving forward in a lot of things in life because I'm afraid or I think I can't. And I want to get this tattoo, especially when I finally overcome these boundaries within myself, to say, like, no, I'm good. I can do these things. I can move forward, and I'm not afraid.
Do you think this is a work that you'll draw? It sounds very personal.
It's so personal.
That you might have to, like, at least sketch it and then kind of pass it on?
I could probably do a rough sketch. I would never get my own art tattooed on my body.
That's interesting.
There are some people who do. I don't, because over a course of time, I look at my art and I just think to myself, oh my God, I'm going to vomit. That looks disgusting. But I think that's just how a lot of artists think, is you're constantly trying to progress and you are constantly trying to improve your work and improve your style. And, you know, over a course of time, you look back and you think, what was I doing? The shading, the proportions, oh my God, like, gouge my eyes out.
It'd be like having a social media post on your body forever, right? You'd be like, why did I do that?
I know. You're like, that was a choice.
Delete.
Yeah, so, I mean, I give props. There are some artists that I know, an artist that I've tattooed, he gave me some of his drawings and I've tattooed them on his body for him. And I even asked him, I was like, how do you even feel comfortable doing this? He's like, I don't know. Like, I'm not that critical and I love my work. I'm like, awesome. I don't feel that way about myself, but awesome.
Do you have a favorite style? Like, you know, there's Asian, black and gray. You mentioned neo-traditional, but it's very broad.
I'm black and gray right now. Like I said, I'm very much a novice in this tattooing game since I'm like only coming up on a year of being a licensed tattoo artist. Black and gray is where I'm at right now. I haven't dabbled into color because it's a completely different realm and different techniques you need to be aware of. I guess my style, like I said, it's neo-traditional, but how would I describe? Bold, a lot of different lines, like bold and thin. I love things that flow, that are almost like aquatic. That's like one of my favorite things to do. I've gotten a lot of praise for like my aquatic tattoos, like the octopus or the whale or like the jellyfish, because I like the way that things flow and it feels good. And like the way it feels when I tattoo it, I think that's what it is. If it has a great flow and a great sense of movement, that's what I love. And anything related to animals and beautiful women, I think that's where I always lean more towards.
Do you think, are you attracted to water animals subconsciously? Or are you like, are you aware of like, there is this story of, you know?
You know, I think I subconsciously am. I'm also very into like dreams and such. My last and only art show I ever did was all of my artwork was based on dreams. And a lot of my dreams that I have, including nightmares, deal with water and the oceans. And there's like a symbology of it that water is encapsulates your emotions and like underlying feelings. And the ocean terrifies me. And it's also very beautiful. And I think the creatures are terrifyingly beautiful. And I think that's why I gravitate towards it, because it has some kind of meaning to me than other animals.
Yeah. I know I hate the ocean. I finally took oceanography a long time ago.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get over it, just so I could kind of respect it finally.
Yeah, it's a force.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a force.
It's so unknown. It's like, why do we go to outer space? The ocean's so, like,
we're still discovering so much in the oceans.
Yeah.
And like going like into like the darker realms of the oceans. Oh my God.
Right.
People being in like the submarines and like in the light, and then you're like goblin
shark.
Could you
do that? Could you be in a submarine?
Oh man.
I get scared at the one in Disneyland. Oh no, Nemo, get me out.
Ejecto button, please. I honestly, I don't know. I don't know. I like to think I could. One of the biggest goals I have is I'm Filipino. I would love to go to the Philippines, and I want to swim with whale sharks.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
They're very docile creatures.
Yeah, they're like little.
They're like the Great Danes of whale shark things. They're just so cute and big and majestic, and I would love to be able to be in the ocean. Like I said, that's beautiful and terrifying for me. And to be just kind of face to face with this creature that I'm like, I have no control. Like, I am in your world. And this is a beautiful encounter. That's one of my things. But going deep in a submarine, I'm going to need some time to think about that.
Well, let's kind of wrap up and ask the one of the big questions. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, my Lord.
Ten's too far.
How does anyone ever answer those questions?
I know. I hate asking sometimes because then people are like, what? I don't even know where I'm going for lunch next.
I always know where I'm going for lunch next.
Where are you going for lunch?
Probably Pinche's Tacos.
Oh, okay.
Yes. 5 years from now, I would like to say I would be very stabilized in a shop with great clientele. My ultimate goal is to be well-known enough to be able to guest spot in different cities and maybe even different countries, especially Japan. Since I know Japanese, I would love to be able to use that language to propel myself in like the Japanese tattooing community. Maybe that's a 10-year thing, I feel like. But 5 years, I would just like to, be a great tattoo artist, live well enough, and have a balcony in an apartment. That's my American dream, is to have a balcony.
That is the new American dream.
That's my American dream.
I'll never own a house, but I want a freaking balcony.
I want a balcony, man. Even if I'm on the second floor, I just want a balcony.
I don't have a balcony, and I'm feeling that right now. In fact, I'm gonna be traveling, and I was like, I booked a hotel with a balcony.
You have to. There's no other way.
Yeah. I was like, how else am I going to live this dream?
So, I think that's my 5-year plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, thanks again for coming by the show. Is there anything you want to plug? I know, I think you kind of sell digital, or you sell artwork or?
Yeah. Yeah. I do commissions. If anyone, I've had some people want me to paint, paintings for them, and I'm very open to that, or draw. I'm very well-rounded, so like if you want an art piece, I'm just honored that you just want something that I've drawn or painted, so I'll
and
totally
do
that.
Do you like people to DM you?
Yeah, Instagram? My Instagram is RememberSabra, S-A-B-R-A, and that's my middle name. It means cactus fruit.
Nice.
So if you just go on my Instagram and if you want to DM me for a tattoo or art in general, that's where I'll be.
And check her out at her new the shop that she'll be starting at. When do you start Friday?
Monday.
Monday. Okay.
Yeah, I start Monday. It's XY Tattoo Studios in North Hollywood.
Where is it at, like in Norho?
I need to learn the streets.
Oh, okay. I don't really know it that well either.
I know. I just
typed
into Google
parts.
Maps, and then I should get a lot better at that. Not very good at marketing
the
streets.
We'll have the information on the site.
Yay, so, great.
Again, you can find her on Instagram, Remember Sabra.
Sabra, yeah.
Sabra. And again, Kennedy Madison from XY Studio in North Hollywood. For more info, you can go to kpcradio.com. I am Anthony Sanchez. I want to thank you all for listening. See you guys next time.
Thanks.